Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of September 2016. The kids are going back to school. Halloween is just around the corner. September is here. Guys, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Guys, I gotta put it out there. Gotta say it. Thank you so, so much for listening. Without you, I'm just some weird guy hanging out in my basement, talking to strange people. Listen, got a great show for you guys. I think you're going to really, really like the guest we have. She is just awesome. Her name is Lori, and she's a medium. She's the Motor City medium. And let me tell you, I just got the phone with her not too long ago. Great interview. I think you're going to really, really like it. I even managed to get my own reading done. Yeah, I said it. My own reading. She read me. And some of the things she said was very, very interesting. I thought it was just totally awesome. But you know what? That's just me. She's got a book called Manifesting Magnificence. That's on Amazon, okay? So check that out. Of course, this time of year, our thoughts start turning to Halloween. Oh, man, I'm so excited. I put up a thing the other day, and it was just like Halloween decorations at the dollar store. And I know, such a simple little thing, like, probably doesn't mean a lick to other people, but to all of us paranormal, crazy people out there, we're looking at that, and all we see is Christmas lights. We're excited. We can't wait for this to happen, and I'm glad you guys are going to be along for the ride. I've got a awesome Halloween episode. Yeah, awesome Halloween episode planned for next month, and I've already got it recorded. Yeah, you guys are going to be treated to a full hour of real live ghost stories. Yeah, right from the heart of St. John's. I actually recorded this back at Sci-Fi on the Rock number 10, so I hope you guys enjoy that show, and that'll be out, of course, on the 1st of October. But let's focus today on the 1st of September. This is our show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the paranormal news. Are you from Portugal? Do you know what a golem is? What if I told you that there's a Portuguese golem, and you actually have some footage of it? Now, I'm not convinced, nor is anybody else, but I gotta put it up there because this thing went viral on Facebook. An unconvincing video of a bipedal creature in the desert has been doing the rounds online this week. Shambling along on two legs with his abnormally long limbs dangling at either side, this bizarre specimen, which seems to have a head that is woefully disproportional to the rest of its body, was allegedly caught on camera as it wandered slowly across a desert floor somewhere in Portugal. First posted online about a month ago, the video, which is almost certainly a hoax, has been picked up by several news sites and has far racked up over 200,000 views on social media. Exactly who created it and why, however, remains, for the moment at least, a bit of a mystery. Let me tell you, it doesn't take much for people to do weird things. And when it comes to wanting to get fame, yeah, they're going to put their little fingertips to work on some computer-generated weirdness and just make people I look at it as a form of shock entertainment, kind of like the Blair Witch movies when they came out. Remember those? Yeah, it was pretty awesome until you realize those actors were on a red carpet a few weeks later. Anyway, moving on, time to look way up. What have I told you about a mystery? A little thing called Niku, which is traveling backwards in space. Yeah, what the heck is Johnny talking about? A strange object has been spotted beyond the orbit of Neptune, and it appears to be going around the sun in reverse. Discovered by the Pan-STARRS telescope in Hawaii, the mysterious object, which measures only around 200 kilometers across, has been named Niku, which means rebellious in Chinese. The fact that it seems to be traveling in the complete opposite direction to the rest of the planets in the solar system has left astronomers scratching their heads. It's wonderful that it's so confusing, said Queen's University astronomer Michelle Bannister. I'm looking forward to seeing what the theoretical analysts do once they get their hands on this one. It has been suggested that the existence of the theoretical Planet 9 in the outer system may be responsible for sending Niku off on such a strange trajectory. However, scientists have pointed out that the new object is too close to the other planets for this to be a likely scenario. It suggests that there's more going on in our outer solar system than we're fully aware of, said astrophysicist Matthew Holman. We don't know the answer. And you know what? I'm glad. When the astrophysicist says, I don't know, it gives me hope, because you never know what's out there. Are there more planets in our solar system, folks, that we don't know about? Could this be just some strange comet or meteor? This could be anything. 200 kilometers across? Man, cue the theme from Armageddon if this thing gets too close to us, because we're sending Bruce Willis up there, baby. It's happening. Oh, man. Well, who are you going to call, man? Who are you going to call? Did you guys check out that new Ghostbusters movie? Yeah, I never checked it out either. I'm probably just going to watch it on Daily Motion at some point. I'm going to be honest. I'm not doing that great when it comes to money right now. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's just the way things are in my life right now. So I can't really be throwing a whole extra bucks on movies I'd only want to half see. But why go see Ghostbusters when you can have the real thing in your own house? Yeah, boy, you should go to Scotland, because you know what? Scottish police are baffled by a poltergeist case, and this is just really strange, and I've heard variations of the story before. I'm hoping it's the real deal, but I'm going to read it for you guys anyway. A series of paranormal disturbances at a house in South Lanarkshire have been investigated by the police. According to reports, a mother and her teenage son have been left extremely distressed after a series of violent and unexplained events at their house had forced them to reach for help. Police officers attending the scene had initially believed the case to be a mental health issue, but after experiencing the phenomena for themselves, they were so flabbergasted that they actually ended up calling the Catholic Church for assistance. You know it's bad when you call them the men in white. The officers attended expecting it to be a mental health issue, but they witnessed the lights going off, clothes flying across the room, and the dog, which so happens to be a Chihuahua, sitting on top of a hedge. Said a police source, the officers called their superiors, who also attended, thinking the cops were perhaps being a bit silly, but it's taken very seriously. The mother and son have since left the house to go and stay with relatives, while reports indicate that a priest has also revisited the property and conducted many blessings. Officers with more than 20 years service are saying they've never seen anything quite like this. It really is something that down-to-earth police officers are having trouble getting their heads around. How do you handle what, despite us liking to use the word, has been described as a poltergeist? You know, it's interesting. We've been through so many movies, so many hauntings, so many things in the media, constantly. We're still calling a poltergeist a poltergeist. There you go. Weird things happening, things moving, things that should not be going on. Things that should not be going on are happening all the time. Now we have police officers documenting what's going on. Think about that, folks. Think about that just for 2 seconds. Actual real-life police officers are showing up and documenting this poltergeist activity. Not some random guy with a video camera like myself who deep down inside really wants this place to be haunted. We're talking actual police officers who will put their badge down the desk and tell you, hey, man, this stuff is really going on. You know, in this field, we don't have a whole lot of credibility, so I'm going to tell you this right now. I really hope that these officers are telling the truth, because let's be honest, how many years do you give a poltergeist for breaking an enter anyway? Think about that for a second. Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. opens his eyes. Yeah, you thought I was just cursing that time, didn't you? I'm not. A miracle. A miracle. A real life miracle. Could this be... Just, I could not believe this. I seen this online and it made my heart jump. Okay? This was earlier in August when this came out, but like, man, I've got to share this with you guys. A miracle seems to have taken place in Mexico. Speaking of Jesus, there's a statue that apparently opened its eyes. Yeah, and it was on film. A video recorded in the chapel of Saltillo in Mexico shows a statue's eyes opening all on their own. The eerie clip, which was filmed back in June, went viral this week after it was uploaded online. The footage primarily focuses on a large statue of Jesus, which was present during a church service at the chapel in Salt Hill, a historic building situated in the Mexican state of Coahuila de Zarazago. While it is difficult to see anything at first due to the footage being quite dark, on closer inspection, the video does appear to show the statue's eyes opening for a few seconds before closing again, seemingly without alerting anyone else who was there at the time. Whether the movement is actually paranormal nature, however, remains open to debate. A news report covering the story in Spanish can be viewed online, no problem at all, and you actually see the footage yourself. You know, you kind of skip in a little bit and you'll see these eyes open. Man, it is creepy, and oh boy, I don't know. You know, I always have a little tongue in cheek when it comes to anything that might be religious at all to talk about on my show, but like, this is just strange. You guys got to check this out. Look it up. Look up the eyes of Jesus open on a statue. Just look it up on YouTube. I'm sure it'll probably pop up. It's creepy. It's weird. It's just really, really out there. It's also an excuse for me to keep saying Jesus on my podcast because I never get a chance to curse on this thing. You know, in real life, I curse like a sailor all the time, but I try to keep my podcast clean in case my little girl's listening. So there you go. Oh, boy. How smart are animals? You know, this is something that's kind of always been up there and kind of always been out for debate. Now, I've always kind of wondered how intelligent is a dog, say, versus a dolphin? Or how intelligent is a dolphin, say, versus a gorilla? Well, I'm telling you, if they're really close ancestors of ours, it does not surprise me at all, because now they're starting to destroy the traps that poachers are setting for them. How intelligent are they? Some of Rwanda's mountain gorillas have taken a hands-on approach to tackling the threat of snares. Conservationists have reported that for the first time ever, young silverback gorillas have been observed actively seeking out and destroying snare traps left in the forest by poachers. Thousands of rope and branch snares are set up across Rwanda's Volcanic National Park on a regular basis, and conservationists spend a lot of time attempting to locate and disarm them. Now, though, it seems as though even the gorillas themselves are getting in on the act and joining in the fun. This is absolutely the first time that we've seen juveniles doing that. I don't know of any other reports in the world of juveniles destroying snares, said Gorilla Program Coordinator Veronica Vercello at the Dian Forsey Gorilla Fund Karasaki Research Center. Wow, that's a mouthful for you. We'll just call it the Karasaki Research Center. We are the largest database and observer of wild gorillas, so I would be very surprised if somebody else has seen that. Like, that blows my mind. How intelligent are these animals? Not only does this behavior help to demonstrate the level of intelligence exhibited by the gorillas, but it also means that their young will be less likely to become trapped in the snare in the near future, helping our conservation efforts. Well, I mean, if we needed to, you know, conserve dogs, maybe we can teach them not to run out in the street. Like, this is brilliant. It's actually quite a brilliant way of keeping these animals alive. They were very confident, said Vicello. They saw what they had to do. They did it. And then they left. Wow. That's just wild. I got more animals for you. Don't go away. You know who Granny is? I got to put this one out there just for my wife because she loves orcas. The killer whale Granny is older than the Titanic. Did you know that? A 105-year-old killer whale is still going strong after being sighted off the coast of Washington State. Wow. Born 1 year before the sinking of the Titanic, this positively ancient seaborne mammal has been regarded as something of a celebrity ever since she was first identified back in 71. Her extreme old age is particularly surprising, as orcas were only thought to live about 60 to 80 years. Granny has been swimming pretty much nonstop for 100 years, said whale-watching expert Simon Pittock. The southern residents, the community of killer whales, on average travel about 72 miles in a 24-hour period, day in, day out. This means in Granny's lifetime, she has swam around the world the equivalent of 100 times. Seemingly still in good health, the aged whale could go on to live for many more years to come. I think it's wonderful. And, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm really, really happy this whale's still alive. 100 years is crazy, man. I wonder how old that kid from Free Willy would be now. Oh, God. Okay, I saved something even weirder for last. Now, to get the full effect, you're going to have to look this picture up online yourself. But one more weird animal thing. I know I love my weird animal stuff. I'm always talking about it online. So here it comes. A weird googly-eyed squid. I kid you not. That's the headline of the article. Found on seafloor. A recent deep-sea expedition off the coast of California has revealed a rather unusual-looking creature. Discovered by the research vessel EV Nautilus, the peculiar purple cephalopod looks a bit like a cartoon character thanks to its large googly eyes, which almost appear to be painted on. A member of the Russia Pacifica, or stubby squid species, the cute little creature was discovered around 900 meters under the sea by researchers using a remote-operated submersible vehicle. Stubby squids can be typically found across the northern Pacific and grow up to be 11 centimeters in length. And they are friggin' adorable. Oh my God, they look like a teddy bear my little girl would have. Oh, guys, we got weird golems, just weird golems running around Portugal. We got a mystery planet that, well, we think it might be a planet that's about 200 kilometers across called Niku. We got Scottish police making haunted house calls, you know, because, you know, you got to put that poltergeist behind bars. We got a miracle statue of Jesus apparently opening its eyes. We got young gorillas breaking their own traps. Yeah, little silverbacks who know their way around the poachers. We got a killer whale who's over 100 years old, and we got a weird googly-eyed, just octopus-looking thing. Guys, all these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, always available, always free, always odd.
All right, guys, it's almost time for oddities, 10 really strange facts about our very strange world that are actually quite true. But first, we got to check in with our good friend Laura for the MUFON Minute. Laura, take it away.
Thanks, John. Welcome to your MUFON Minute for September 2016. On the last episode, John did a fantastic job highlighting the apparent connection between UFOs and military nuclear bases. There is an interesting history of many of these events being connected or associated. Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, and a vocal believer in UFOs and aliens, had most certainly confirmed that these events are real. He said that there were accounts of sightings during missile tests by many different military personnel. Not only that, there have been reports of UFOs shooting down test missiles and even deactivating their control systems. Whether you believe in an extraterrestrial hypothesis to explain UFOs or a top-secret military development or even espionage, one thing is certain. Sightings have certainly taken off since the development of nuclear weapons and nuclear power. Sadly, Dr. Mitchell passed away in February of this year, leaving a huge legacy. He stated repeatedly over the years that there was a huge UFO and alien cover-up. He confirmed that he personally knew witnesses from various levels of government and military that can confirm this cover-up. He is quoted as saying, "Many of these folks are under high security clearances. They took oaths and they feel that they cannot talk without some form of immunity. It takes a brave person to come out on something like this." To continue with our cover-up theme, we have some interesting news from Dr. Stephen Greer, the founder of the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or CSETI, and the Disclosure Project. He has been working on a crowd-funded documentary and book combo called Unacknowledged. The title comes from the super-secret and illegal Unacknowledged Special Access Projects, or USAPs. And they actually deal directly with UFOs and extraterrestrials, allegedly. As with his previous work in the Disclosure Project and Sirius, there is a strong focus on secrecy of government and corporations. While this treads into the conspiracy theory realm, I'm looking forward to seeing if there are any new tidbits to come from this new project. At the time of recording, there have been no official release dates, only estimates of late fall 2016 or early 2017. On a surprisingly related note, I recently met a person who had attended Dr. Greer's CE5 training. If any listeners have received this training and are interested in meeting some others for a joint CE5 session in the St. John's Metro region, please feel free to contact me. I will be presenting at Avalon Expo 2 at the end of August. While this podcast will air after the event, I hope to get to meet some of you listeners there. Our local group is in the process of planning our next meetup. Also, there have been discussions of a group skywatching evening. If you are interested, please be sure to join us next time. For more information about MUFON in Newfoundland and Labrador, please be sure to check out newfonblog.wordpress.com. That's N-E-W-F-O-N blog.wordpress.com. And, of course, please check the Newfoundland UFO Network on Facebook. And, as always, if you see something unusual in the skies, please be sure to report it to www.mufon.com. Thanks, John.
Thank God. It's time for oddities.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
I want to believe.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
Oddity.
All right, guys, it's time for Oddities. 10 very strange facts that are very, very true about a very odd, odd world. I love oddities. And you know what? Life's a game of chess. You must admit, there's so many moves we can make. But did you know? Here's our first oddity. Did you know there are more possible iterations of a game of chess than there are atoms in the known universe? Think about that next time someone's whooping your butt in chess. That's a really, really large number. Yeah. Did you know when the University of Nebraska Cornhuskers play football at home, the stadium becomes the state's third largest city? It's considered a city status. Strange. Very, very strange. Did you know Russia didn't consider beer to be alcohol until 2011? It was previously classified as a soft drink. Duh. You puny man. You drink now. I haven't got a really good Russian accent, I'll be honest. It's not that great. But I'll say this. It's considered a soft drink? Dude, I love drinking soft drinks. And beer. I'd be so confused in Russia. It's true. Did you know if a male lion takes over a pride, he executes all the cubs? Oh, I can't really relate to that. That is very strange, though. I guess it must be something to do with the whole lineage thing, you know? Think about that next time you watch The Lion King. Yeah, Simba, he's a murderer. You know who I love as a Disney character, speaking of Simba? I love Scrooge McDuck. But do you ever actually wonder, like, how much he's actually worth? He jumps in the great big money pit. What can I say? Every day he's out there making DuckTales, and he's also making mad, mad money. Because Forbes estimated in 2011 that Scrooge McDuck is actually worth $44.1 billion. Cha-ching! Dude, that's so much money. Oh my. I'm telling you, Huey, Dewey, and Louie don't even like the guy. They're just in it for the inheritance. You know what? September's here, which means that it's fall, which means winter's going to be here before you know it. Did you know 2/3 of people on Earth have never seen snow, though? That's an interesting fact. I can't really say I'm jealous of those people, but living in Newfoundland, I'm totally jealous of those people. We have way too much snow. Did you know in Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 thriller Psycho, the sound effects for the famous shower scene were actually created by repeatedly stabbing a cassava melon? Well, at least I know they were on a high budget. A hummingbird weighs less than a penny. Did you know that? Hey, you think about that next time you got a few pennies in your pocket. Did you know there's actually more vacant houses than homeless people in the United States? Now, come on, folks. Put those poor homeless people indoors. That's a sin. They need to be looked after, too. And they need to have a nice house, and it needs to be nice and warm, and it needs to have a nice computer in there for them so they can listen to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast and just live the American dream. Or Canadian, depending on where you're from. I'll say this, though. If there's any vacant houses, we should be putting the homeless in there. That's just a sin. Okay. Almost near the end of our list. When St. Louis held the 1904 Summer Olympic Games, events included greased pole climbing, rock throwing, and mud fighting. Greased pole climbing. How do you practice for that?
I'm going to climb to the top and grease my hands and see how long I can stay up here.
And rock throwing? In the Newfoundland, we have an old expression. Don't listen to him, but he throws rocks. He throws rocks, but... And also mud fighting. Well, that should be reserved for bars. Did you know the woolly mammoth was around when the Egyptian pyramids were being built?
Yeah.
You want to know how they got those pyramids up? They used woolly mammoth power, buddy. They did. They totally did. They hooked the harnesses up to the woolly mammoths. They just cracked a whip on them, and yeah, I know what you're saying. They weren't in that hemisphere or that climate, but you know what? Appreciate the imagination that went into this. Appreciate it all. There you go. There's your oddities. We're going to go now and get in contact with our good friend Laura, the Motor City Medium. She's up next, guys. Don't you dare go away.
The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast does not accept donations. In lieu of this, the Stella Burry Foundation is a registered charity established in 2005 to secure financial support for the work of Stella's Circle. Learn more and please give generously at stellaburry.ca. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Tonight, we have a medium in the house. Yeah, not a double-double, a triple-triple, a medium. But what exactly is mediumship? Mediumship, you know, a lot of people can define it as a process, we'll say, whereby a human instrument, known as a medium or channel, is used by one or more discarnate spirit personalities for the purpose of presenting information. But is there really more to the story? You know, we see mediums on TV, we talk to people in real life who claim to be one. So I said, you know what? There's only one way to get to the bottom of this. It's time to talk to a real live medium. In fact, I had to go all the way to Michigan to find Lori Calfian, who is the Motor City Medium. I'm really excited to have her on. Lori, how are you tonight?
I'm great, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. Let me say, first and foremost, it's great to have a medium on. I haven't had nearly enough on my podcast, and people keep requesting. So you know what? I'm glad I found you on Facebook. Lori, how did this all begin? When did you find out you had a gift?
Ooh, good question. Actually, has not been that long. I went to a class to meet your spirit guides, and absolutely nothing happened. It was just a total disappointment. But I connected with a few people there, one of which was the woman who was presenting the class. And about a year later, we connected through Facebook. And I had sort of gotten the message to get, you know, I had this feeling that I should contact her. And at the same time, she was getting the same feeling. And so we ended up messaging on Facebook, met for lunch one day. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we go to Chipotle, you know, sitting there having some food. And we just talked and talked and talked and talked. And one thing led to another. And she says she wants to go get dessert. So we end up going to Big Boy. So we're at Big Boy and we have some dessert. And then we're still talking, talking, talking. And it's all about this type of spiritual stuff. And so then, you know, one thing led to another. And we're sitting there and she tells me that she's got spirits lined up that they want to talk to me. And I said, you know, you got the wrong girl. I don't do that. And she said, no, they're telling me I'm supposed to work with you. And so she told me that what I needed to do was just kind of try to clear my mind. And I was to ask mentally, who is it? Like, you know, what's their name? Who are you? Are you friend or family? And then I kind of added, you know, maternal or paternal to see which side of the family. And then what's your message? And I started asking the questions and I gave her exactly what came to me. And she said, I can confirm that. I can confirm that. I can confirm that. And by this time, I'm getting a little bit freaked out. And, you know, one of the people that came through, when I said who it was, or when I said what the message was, she burst into tears. And then I really freaked out. And there was a backstory to that, which I can't really share. But, this was only 2 years ago. So this has been really new for me, and but I love it. I absolutely love it. I have people come through all the time and on the phone with a friend that I hadn't seen since I was a teenager, and all of a sudden this woman shows up and her name popped into my head, and so I asked him, who's Evelyn? And he said, what? I said, who's Evelyn? He said, that's my wife's grandmother. I said, well, she's here, and she's got a message for you. And he said, oh, God. So they just, you know, they just come whenever they want somebody to know something. They'll tap into anybody that is available and open enough to be willing to give the message. So,
Lori, it's really interesting that you mentioned that you weren't exactly born with this gift, but it was kind of brought on by a friend of yours. I think that's really different. You know, usually we hear the stories of people who've always kind of had a feeling there was something different about them from a younger age. So it's kind of gives me hope, because you never know. I could be like, you know, psychic myself and not even know it. That's really, really interesting. Lori, what's it like when these spirits come through and use you as the medium? Do you see them? Do you feel them? What exactly happens? I want to know about the process, we'll say, of how the message comes from the other side to ours.
Okay. Well, I'm clairvoyant and clairaudient, which means I see them. And this is not in a physical way. I see them in my mind's eye, and I hear them. And it doesn't matter. Like the other day, my sister has a spirit at her new house in Arizona. And he actually came to me to deliver a message to my sister, and he was very persistent about it. I was in the middle of cleaning and cutting up some celery, and I literally had to stop because he was very persistent. You know, you need to deliver this message to her now. Okay, fine. So I stopped what I was doing. Well, for me, I feel, how do I describe it? It's like a tingling sort of heat on my back between my shoulder blades. And I know, then that tells me that there's somebody there, you know. So then I start asking questions, you know, who are you? What do you want? That kind of thing. Or I can just see them in my mind, and or like that Evelyn, she'll just pop up, you know, all of a sudden I wish I could explain. It's just a sense. But for me, I actually get a physical sensation when they're present. And especially if they're really trying to get my attention, like this guy was, it to the point where I told him, you know, you got to back off. You're a very strong presence. So, it can come in any different way. You can literally just see something in your mind's eye. You can have something random pop into your head and you'll be like, wow, where'd that come from? And oftentimes that's a message. It's somebody telling you something. So, and here's the thing about that. You said that you have hope for the possibility that you might be psychic. Well, guess what? We all are. Every single one of us has the ability to do this. Every single one of us. And they have told me that part of my mission here, part of my life purpose, is to help in that spiritual development.
What a great way to give. What a great way to get the message out than to be on all kinds of podcasts. I think that's great. So all my other podcasting buddies out there who are listening right now, you better get Lori on, because she's a great interview. We haven't even stopped for a break yet. It's awesome.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. It really is great, though. And there are really simple things that people can do to tap into their intuition. I mean, we all have that gut instinct, every one of us. Well, that's your... You know, that's your higher self. It's your spirit guides. It's whatever you want to call it. That gut feeling that, oh, my God, I should turn left and not right. When you get that, follow it. Absolutely. Because that's exactly what that is. It's not necessarily mediumship where you're connecting with those who have crossed over, but you're absolutely connecting to your higher self.
It's interesting, too, from my perspective, because I'm a paranormal investigator in my, shall we say, other life, besides podcasting. And, you know, one of the things I love so much is electronic voice phenomena, which, in my opinion, is the voices from the other side.
Yes.
Is it possible for, you know, pieces of equipment to pick up similar messages than what you probably receive. For instance, have you ever actually gone out with a paranormal investigating team and maybe made contact with the other side before?
I haven't gone out with them. I've actually had them in my home.
Oh, really?
I had an entire team in my home because, yeah, we had a not so friendly here.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that was really kind of harassing my young son. This was many years ago now, probably 8-9 years ago. But yeah, we got EVP. Him saying something about fire and, yeah, we got quite a bit of that. So not only did we have the audio, we got some video.
That's really interesting.
Actually see. Yeah.
That's a lot more rare, to be honest. Yeah. Audio is something I get all the time. It's the video that's really tough to get. So I don't know whether to be really happy or not, because, you know, apparently it wasn't a very friendly, spirit, so to speak, who kind of hung around. Was it something that might have got attached to you, Lori, or?
I feel that it actually was. And the funny thing is, I've never, we had somebody come in and this team did what they did and they actually antagonized him, which was, I was not very happy about that. No. Because it made things worse. And they were antagonistic to try to capture this, you know, the EVPs and whatnot. And it just made things around here a little bit more difficult. But I had somebody else come in and she smudged the house. This was even, you know, this was before I was doing what I'm doing now. So, you know, obviously I smudge my own home now and all that. But we had somebody come in and she just simply asked him to leave. And he did. I've never sensed him since then. The only kind of spirits I've had since all of that happened, other than the ones that pop in occasionally to ask me to deliver a message, are my dogs. Excuse me. So, yeah, but I feel that, yes, he did attach. I felt like he came from my previous home, so.
I gotcha.
But unfortunately, I never got.
It's interesting, you know, I've been involved with paranormal investigating now for almost 5 years. It's been a very long time. It'll be 5 years now in October, actually, of all months. And let me tell you, I've just never, ever had that feeling of a negative entity when I've gone out. I think it's because when I go out there, I put on that white armor, you know what I mean? I got a message of love. I'm trying to bridge the gap between the true skeptical people and the people who are true believers. I want people to kind of be in the middle and be open to each other's opinions. And so when I go out into the field and I capture things, I'm trying my best to be, shall we say, that medium by capturing the data and hopefully going with my gut instinct, like you mentioned before. And it's funny that you said that. There was many times I've been on investigations where I've just been like, you know what? I bet you if I put my recorders here, things will be different. So it's interesting. Yeah. Are these spirits, do they want to be heard by us, or is it the other way around? Do they need us to be heard by them?
It's actually both, Jonathan, because sometimes they have a message that they want to deliver, and it's something that, like, they know that if they were able to get this message to their loved ones, they know that it could bring some peace and some healing and some closure, because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people who don't really understand that we go on, they have a very hard time with death. And, you know, so sometimes receiving that message will provide enough healing and closure for these people that they can move on with their lives. You know, but sometimes it's just us, you know, we humans, you know, we've got to figure everything out, you know, so.
I've heard this is the hardest school you could possibly be into in the universe is planet Earth.
And, yeah, I've heard that too. I really have.
And, yeah, I'm starting to believe it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to keep on trucking, I guess. Lori, are there any tools that you use besides your wonderful mind to help read? You know, like do you use tarot cards? Do you use pendulums? Do you use anything like that?
You know, when I start my readings, I do have two particular decks of tarot cards, but they're not your traditional tarot. These are, one is an angel deck and one is an archangel power deck. And the only reason that I use them, it's a jumping off point for some people. They don't always necessarily know really what they want to know. So I set the intention before I even begin the reading that, I will get the most pertinent information for that person, something that would bring them value. And so I let spirit choose which deck am I going to be working out of, and then I will ask that person to concentrate on what they really want to know. You know, what would you really want to know? Are you looking to find a mate? Or do you want to know something about a career change or something like that? So I have them focus on what they want to know. I shuffle the cards and ask them to tell me, you know, when they feel they're complete, so that I can stop shuffling, and then I'll draw a card. And I only use that. It's just a jumping off point. And then I just kind of open myself up for questions. What, you know, this is what I'm getting from the card. Now, what else would you like to know? Sometimes I'm guided to draw another card because they're still not really sure. Or sometimes, you know, they have a ton of questions.
Interesting. So, wow, Lori, that's really interesting stuff. You know, I have a confession to make. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say this because I've been involved with the paranormal for 5 years now. And I'm a best-selling author on the subject. I love the paranormal. But you know what? I've never had my cards read before. Ever.
<Wow. laughs>
So it's interesting to hear about the process and trying to visualize it myself. It must be really interesting to make those connections with people. And you must come across a lot of people who are probably going through a really tough time or even going through a really great time. You know, you must do something yourself, though, to kind of protect yourself in a way, I would like to think. Oh. Because when you're open all the time, and that's something I'd like to talk to you a little tiny bit about. Tell me a little bit how you put on your spiritual armor, so to speak.
Well, the first thing was when I say they, I'm just referring to the spirit because that's where I get my information. So whoever you want to picture that to be. They had me whip up a bracelet, because I make jewelry too, by the way. Mm-hmm. They had me whip up a bracelet that's just raw chunks of amethyst. That is to help me to open my mind's eye and my crown chakra, because that's your spiritual connection. That's where the information comes through. And amethyst is a very powerful stone to help open that up. And then I also made one of rose quartz and rhodonite, which rose quartz is for love. That's your heart chakra. And I wear that to keep me in a loving space when I'm doing this. So those things I put the jewelry on before I even begin. But I set an intention to get the whatever information that I can get that would have the power to offer the most helping, healing, peace and closure for all involved. So I set that intention. And then what I do is I say, I encircle myself in the white light of God's love and divine protection. You know, I call, you know, for me, it's God. For other people, it could be, you know, whatever, but you're, you know, the universe. So I encircle myself in the white light of God's love and divine protection, and only those spirits with the purest, most loving intent may come within a 5-mile radius of me.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
That's what I do, and then
I think that's awesome. And you know, maybe if I was to take you out for, say, a ghost hunt sometime, we might not want to go to a negative place because nothing will be there. You'll have them all scared off, Lori. You know, it must
That's
be
very true.
I really have a hard time trying to understand how your mind must be on all the time. How do you turn it off? Like, even right now speaking to me, there could be spirits coming through the phone talking to you right now, saying things about me. I don't know. Do you actually have the ability to turn off those voices, or do they kind of like just only come and go as they're needed?
That's a little of both. I mean, sometimes, you know, they'll show up. I had somebody come to me in the shower the other day, and I was like, really? Hello, a little privacy?
Oh, my God. They come to you while you're sitting on the toilet is not a good idea. I don't
care. Seriously, you know? But they just come through, and, I mean, they come through whenever. I just, you know, I ask them. You know, I'll say, you know, this really isn't a good time. Can you, you know, can it wait? And if it can wait, then that's fine. You know, if it's not, then I'll ask them to just, you know, let me finish what I'm doing here and then, you know, give me a minute, you know. But, if I'm ready for my downtime, I'll just tell them, you know what? Sorry guys, I'm done for the night.
Understood.
I'm done for the night. This is going to have to wait till tomorrow.
You know, Lori, the mediumship thing's really been a popular part of a lot of cultures for many, many years, but I like to think with the advent of TV and all these TV shows and stuff that's on all the time, you know, it's just blown up. And it's interesting. A lot of people always talk about how the paranormal is getting less and less and less popular, but I beg to differ. I think it's actually getting a lot more popular. I like to think that religion is actually getting a little less popular. Tell me a little tiny bit about the shows on TV and how you relate to those. Do you think a lot of them are dead on, or do you think a lot of them are just malarkey out to make money?
Oh, that's funny. I don't watch TV. I don't watch TV, but I do know, the Long Island medium.
Oh, yeah.
Teresa Caputo. I watched quite a bit of her, and honestly, I have to say that although, and I'm sorry to her, nothing against her personally, but she's a little bit flaky for me. But I got just the most amazing feeling from watching her do what she did or what she does, in that I could see from the people she was doing the readings for, what a huge impact her words were having on them and delivering those messages, them receiving those messages. I could see it, what was really going on with those people. They were, you know, so overwhelmed and just grateful to get the messages. And I thought, oh my God, that is absolutely something I would love to do. I would love to do that. And then, you know, well, here it is now. Guess what I'm doing? You know? And it really is that. It really is that. But, I mean, some of them, like the show, I did watch through, when I do watch stuff, I watch it through Netflix. So it's like years later, you know? I was watching The Medium. That one was kind of, I don't know. And then what's that other one, Jennifer Love Hewitt one?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, my. What's the name of that show? It's escaping me now.
Yeah. But anyway, that one, I had a harder time with that one. It, as a matter of fact, I couldn't even watch it. It gave me anxiety to watch it. So it's possible that, you know, what was going on there was the real deal. And I did feel like the stuff in the medium was portrayed, somewhat accurately.
I can kind of relate a lot. You know, obviously 2004, we saw two plumbers for the first time get together and they have a paranormal investigating show called Ghost Hunters. And, let me tell you, things have changed a lot since 2004 in the actual world of paranormal investigation, but not a lot's changed on TV. So there you go. I think it's definitely all for the ratings. And, you know, I'm glad those kind of shows and stuff exist, but it's just good to know that, you know, there is a separation between what's on TV and what's actually happening in real life. You know, people don't see the 25 hours worth of recordings that I got to go over with a ghost box in the background going, shh. They don't have to listen to that. They only see the end result. Much like you, there must be a lot of gobbledygook that probably goes on upstairs that you kind of have to filter out. Speaking of gobbledygook, you know, you've been talking to me now for about a half hour. Have you heard anything for me? Is there any messages for John Mallard? This would be really cool. If not, I won't be offended. I mean, I do hunt spirits all the time. They might be all like, you know what, John? We talked to you enough.
Oh, but you don't hear them, do you?
Not at all. Not a whisper. Usually, I don't hear anything at all until I go back over my equipment. I go back over my recordings. I might be in a dark room with the lights off, with my headphones on, listening for hours and hours and hours on end, and then I hear a small voice. And that to me is what I love about the paranormal. I loved hearing from the other side. But let me tell you, I'm open to the idea that they could be saying things right now.
Yeah. And they are, because it was them who said, but you don't hear us.
Oh.
And that's what they meant. It was you personally aren't hearing them. Your equipment will pick up things, but when they're talking to you, you're not actually catching it.
That's right.
Okay, so I guess now they want me to tell you one of the things that I have people do. Are you open to that?
Of course. This is really exciting. Wow. Okay, I'm really excited.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
So let's say you have a question. You want to know something, and we're going to go simple. It's yes or no, okay?
Okay.
In your mind's eye, you have to try to picture the word yes.
Okay.
Now, I made my yes, you know, kind of big and swirly, you know, all feminine-like, you know, nice and pretty. So I did that. It's just black on white. You know, I didn't do any color or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my no is a big, bold, thick-lined N-O, no.
Okay.
So get that, you know, visualize however you want your yes and your no to look. And then what you do is when you have a question, you simply ask. And you can address however you call it, you know, my spirit guides or, you know, my higher beat, my higher self, you know, whatever you're going to do that's, you know, it's very subjective, very personal. But you ask the question.
Okay.
You know, should I... Well, let me, I don't know, whatever the example, you know, should I eat this donut or should I have, you know, some oatmeal? Okay. Something like that. Just whatever it is, you know, just something. And you can, here's what you do. You calibrate it first. And by calibrate it, I mean you ask them something that you already know the answer to.
Okay.
Is my name Jonathan? You should, boom, instantly see your yes in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And do that several times with something that you know is a yes and others that you know is a no. And do that so that you calibrate it so that you see it in your mind's eye and they've got the correct answer. And then you can start asking yes and no questions. And from there, the more you do that, the more, and it's because for the very specific reason that you're asking them, that you're communicating with them, they will start opening up other ways of communicating with you.
Interesting stuff.
They can actually help you to open up your clairs.
Gotcha. So as you're talking to me, and I hate to go backwards, I was taken aback a little bit when you said, but you don't hear us. So that was a message for me.
Yes.
Wow.
It was.
That's so cool because, like, I'm always talking to them like they're right there. And one of the things I've always done is I've visualized, you know, for instance, I'm investigating this supposedly haunted museum called Admiralty House. And I've been there now for well over a year with multiple investigations. I'm really focusing on this one place. In fact, Lori, I'm even writing a new book about that and just all those experiences. And one thing I've always done is sit down and visualize like there's somebody actually there with me. You know, the traditional EVP session is dead to me. I put my recorders around and I just pretend like they're not there and I just talk. And I'm telling you, it's really, really changed the way I investigate. And it's interesting that you should say, but you don't hear me or hear us, because that's plural. So.
And it is. And they said, when you said that you do that, you visualize that they are around you, they said to me, we are.
Wow. That's so cool.
We are.
Okay. Are there any other messages for me from the other side? Could be anything. Take your time. Mm-hmm. Take your time. Don't worry about it. Take your time.
Okay, hold on. Is one of your parents transitioned?
No. I have my mom and dad are still alive and well, but my dad is terminally ill. Of course, he is a walking, breathing miracle and has been beating cancer since 2009. In fact, we actually call him Deadpool because he's invincible. Apparently, not even cancer can stop him. So to say that he's transitioned is an interesting thing to say. I don't really feel like he's transitioned to the other side, but he's definitely an advocate, shall we say, that there's one there.
Gotcha. Okay, because I'm feeling something about that, and sometimes they show you stuff, and you gotta kind of ask, you know, am I supposed to deliver this, or I'm not really getting that I'm supposed to pass this on. Mm. And they will do that sometimes. They'll show me something and, you know, anyway, regardless of who this is actually coming from, did you have somebody in your life like this may have even been, it was somebody that feels like a parent energy, like it could have been a good friend's mom or something like that. Somebody that you sort of considered like a parent or somebody that was really close to you.
Okay. Well, I guess really I had two uncles who've passed away. My Uncle Kenny passed away, but he wasn't super close with me. I guess my family is a pretty close family, but I can't really say that they're like a parent figure. You know what I mean? Hard to say.
Yeah. This feels like a feminine energy anyway, so I don't really know. Hmm. I don't really know.
Okay. The closest thing to me that would be feminine, that'd probably be my grandmother. And she passed away a couple of years ago.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not actually seeing who this is. And it's possible that it is your grandmother, because, I mean, that's still a mother-like figure. Well, it's your mother's or father's mother, but the message is that they really they're very happy with what you're doing, and they really want you to continue. And see, I'm kind of getting a lot here. Like when you mentioned that place that you've been investigating, you are right to stay there.
Okay.
There's stuff that's going to be coming through for you, I feel, about that. And whoever this person is, this female energy is, she wants you to know that you should stay right there. You're doing a good job. They're happy with what you're doing. And what they're saying is they appreciate that you are such a spiritual advocate. They really appreciate that you are advocating on their behalf, that, you know, that they actually are there, that they, you know, may have a message. And they are going to be the spirits you're investigating, but those who work with you directly, whether it's your angels, guides, whatever, they are actually going to be opening you up. And they're doing so because it's going to help you in the work that you're doing.
Okay. That's really interesting. That'd be awesome. Because let me tell you, it's not getting any easier. And my time is getting shorter and shorter as I've gotten more busy with family life. So the more abilities I have to get out there and get these things done, the more interesting that'll be, and the more I'll get out of it. So that's great. I love that. That's a wonderful message. That gives me hope. That's great, Lori.
Well, and they're stressing too to keep doing what you're doing though about the white light. Make sure that you do that. I mean, that's you need to do that because you could possibly encounter some dark energies, and, you want to be safe. So
I like to think that it will eventually happen. It will eventually happen, you know? It's good. It'll come across me eventually. It hasn't happened yet, but you know what? I can never say never, especially with this business, eh?
Right. But just make sure that you're, you know, keep doing what you're doing with the protection thing, because that's, it is important. Not only that, it gives you a sense of well-being, shall we say.
You know, it's interesting. Maybe that what you got to come through at Admiralty House didn't happen to feel the name of a woman by the name of Ann Pearl, did you?
I didn't get that, but I was getting a name that was starting to shape up, and then it was a little odd type of name. I didn't get the Anne thing, but I was getting something. No, I didn't specifically get Anne Pearl, no. But why is that somebody that you're investigating there?
No, actually, that may be one of the spirits who are still lingering. And it wouldn't surprise me if she's tried to reach out before. I've actually had her name play over a spirit box. And
really?
It was her, and it was very, very clear. I could tell you so many crazy stories about that place, but you'll have to wait till the book comes out.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, Lori, definitely. Lori, I'm not the only one with books on the mind, though. You've got a book out. Tell the people about the book.
Oh, very small. Little tiny thing, literally. It's called Manifesting Magnificence, 15 Minutes a Day to Living a Life You Love. And it's just a very simple process that takes 15 minutes a day, 5 minutes of self-love in front of a mirror. Very, very, very important, because so many of us have worthiness issues. You get clear about what you want, and you do 5 minutes of affirmations. You write affirmations that are pertinent to those things that you decided you want in your life. And I've broken it down into each section, like, you know, career-wise, what do you want career-wise? What do you want relationship-wise? Love relationship, and obviously family. Those are two different things. And it's so simple, but oh my goodness, I host a couple of online groups where we do intentional manifesting, and we support each other in those things that we're trying to manifest, and we had been kind of stuck and stagnant, and so I kept asking, you know, what are we missing here? What are we getting wrong? And so, of course, spirit being spirit, they like to tell you what they're going to tell you whenever it's appropriate, or, you know, whenever it suits them. So they woke me up in the middle of the night, and I heard in my head, you're making this way harder than it needs to be. They guided me to go to the computer and open up a Word document. They said, we're going to type. I said, okay. So I went to the computer and boom, boom, boom. They said, just, you know, you're just making this way too hard. Just do this every day. And then they just completely laid out what it was that we were supposed to do. And let me tell you, it wasn't a book initially. It was just, you know, I rolled this process out to my groups and we all did it together. And once we got clear about what we wanted and then wrote the affirmations that would support that and then began the process of the mirror work, wow, I mean, it was so fast. We all started manifesting the bigger things because we had let all kinds of small stuff in, you know. But if you have worthiness issues or you just don't trust the universe, you kind of block the flow of abundance. So when we started doing this, it just, I mean, it really started flowing in. And I'm talking some pretty big stuff, you know, like a Mercedes SUV. Nice, you know.
That's really interesting.
Another woman.
And, you know, we still got to pay the bills on that Mercedes. Where can people buy your book to, Lori?
Oh, it's on Amazon.
Yeah, get on Amazon. Yeah, check it out.
Right on Amazon.
Manifesting Magnificence. That is a really, really awesome title.
Thank you.
I love that.
Fine.
I love that.
They gave me that too, so.
hopefully now when I roll this podcast out now on the 1st of September, I can't even believe I'm going to say that. Like, the 1st of September is a couple of days away. Like, where did this year go?
Right.
Here we go. Hopefully you can share it on those groups so they can all hear your message as well. Lori Kalfian, she's the Motor City Medium. Thank you so much for being on my show. Hopefully someday I'll get to have you back again. And I really appreciate you giving me that little mini reading. That was really awesome.
No problem. Thank you, Jonathan. It was a lot of fun.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, @ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.